morning, all. I hope you're having a great day. I ask you all to please pray with me about my dad's girlfriend. You did before and it worked very well. Thank you all so much for your wishes. But her cancer came back. And came back very strong. Can we all just please pray for her in our hearts? And raise her up and make her feel better? I really, really wish that she'll be okay. This is a very trying time for her. And she's staying quite positive through all of it, which is good. She knows the Lord, and she prays to Him every night. Thank you all so much. Pray for Helen. Helen Poon. She's a great lady. She really is. Please, everyone, just pray for her a little bit, just to help. Thank you.
I believe that's it. So, we have the script. Oh, the announcements. Scripture reading. There we go. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And beginning in verse number 30. Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through that whole region round about, and began to carry in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch it, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you and praise you that we can gather in your house on this Lord's Day. We thank you for each person who has come today. Lord, we just ask your special blessing upon us. Encourage us, strengthen us, bless us, and grant that we might truly leave this place this morning rejoicing in your goodness and in your grace and mercy to us. We do pray, our Father, for the spiritual need of each and every person, and maybe someone here today who has an aching heart. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would undertake for them and bless them, supply their needs, and guide and direct. We pray for any that may not know you as their Lord and Savior, that they would come to know you even today. Lord, may your holy will be done. Our Father, we pray for those who are in need today. We know that there's many. There's still people that are suffering from the virus. I know my friend down in Alabama, Bob Tirishano, is still in the hospital. We pray for him. And we pray for others who are going through various trials. We ask you to undertake for them today, especially. We think of the request that Adam McDonald made this morning for Helen Poon. We pray for her, dear Heavenly Father. We just thank you that she is a believer, and pray that you will just meet her needs. Lord, we pray that you might help her to overcome this terrible disease, and that she might be healed. And that you would work in her life and meet her needs. And Lord, we just pray too for David Mingle. We ask you to be with him. He might be able to resolve his problem. And with Amber. And with so many others, our Father, each one of us, no doubt this morning, are thinking of someone who has a special need. And we pray that you will help them to overcome these things. We pray for our country today, our Father, as we draw nearer to the election time. We just pray, O Lord, that you will give us guidance and leadership and wisdom. Help each and every one of us to do our part in this election. Dear Lord, may your people take our active interest in what's happening around us. We know that we're citizens of heaven, yes, but we're also citizens of the United States of America. Help us to do the best we can, our Father, as long as we can. And may your holy will be done. We thank you for our leadership, and we ask you to bless the president and all of those who are in authority over us, and give us the wisdom to accomplish what you want us to do. Dear Lord, we do pray today your blessings upon your word. Just encourage us, strengthen us, help us, and may we honor you, serve you, and do your will in all things. We do pray, our Father, that you would continue to work in the hearts and lives of people around the world. I think of the missionary that's coming, John Talbert. We pray for him and for the work that he's doing in reaching out to others. We think of our missionaries that we support, and we thank you for each one of them and for all those who are seeking to win people to Christ. Lord, we know it's difficult in these days with all the restrictions that have been put upon us. But we pray that you'll help us to overcome them and to be able to share the gospel with all those around us and throughout the world, that many, many might come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Thank you so much for all your love to us today. Bless and help us and guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again to Mark chapter 6. We're going through the Gospel of Mark, have been for some time now, and we have the miracle of the loaves, or the feeding of the 5,000, as we say. You notice that there were 5,000 men. Tells us in other places that besides the women and children. So there was a huge crowd here that Jesus is going to minister to. This is the only miracle that appears in all four Gospels. We have it in Matthew 14, Luke 9, John chapter 6, and then, of course, here in Mark chapter 6. So it's very important, something that we need to understand what it's all about. See here what God is capable of doing, right? And we find here the disciples returned from their mission. They had been out preaching. He sent them out throughout the area there in Galilee, proclaiming the good news of the coming kingdom and so forth, and that Jesus was there. And they had really good results. It says they all came back to Jesus and told him all the things that had happened, what they had done, what they had taught. And they hadn't had any time to rest at all. They were busy, very, very busy. And so Jesus says, I like this, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. You know, God has ordained that we work, that we serve him. And what does it say? 6 days we're supposed to work, right? And one day of rest. I think some people have turned that around the other way, you know. 6 days of leisure and one day of work, perhaps. I mean, that's what they accuse us of, isn't it? The preachers, I guess. We only work one day a week. But at any rate, we find here that Jesus is giving them an opportunity to rest. And you know, we all need that. I know I've been told down through the years for some of the leaders in the church telling me, you know, well, why don't you go on vacation? I think they want to hear somebody else, you know what I mean? But anyway, it is necessary that we rest occasionally, isn't it? And find a place of to compose ourselves and be able to recharge our batteries. And these people had been out so busy proclaiming the gospel in strange places, going into different homes, and it all took a toll on them. And then they came back, and you remember the message from last week. We talked about John the Baptist. He had been killed, right? And this was right after when they heard the news that John had been killed. This is in Matthew 14 and verse 12. It speaks there. It says, his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. So here we find they had just received the news of the death of this close loved one, this servant of God who had been so cruelly beheaded, and it had to strike them, I'm sure. Jesus knew about it, and he told the disciples, let's go find some rest. He wanted to encourage them. He wanted to strengthen them because this could happen to any one of them, couldn't it? And we know that later it did happen to most of the disciples. They were all killed in one way or another for preaching the gospel. And Jesus, of course, went to the cross and died a horrible death for our sins. At any rate, we find here the sadness, the sorrow that overtook them, and a time that they needed for rest. But notice what happened. However, when they arrived at this quiet spot where they thought no one would be and they could, you know, have a little bit of rest time, The people were already there. They had seen them leaving the boat. They recognized Jesus. And so they came on foot and got there before they did. And so when Jesus came out of the boat, he saw them standing there or sitting there and watching, waiting for him to come. And what does it say? Notice the character of our Lord Jesus and his great caring heart, his love for people. Verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. You see, Jesus laid aside his own weariness and his sadness to compassionately meet the needs of these people, these who had come to hear his word. And he forgot all about what he had intended to do. He laid it all aside and ministered, see. And he willingly changed his plans to minister to them because they needed it so much. Notice the description here taken from the Old Testament. You know, it talks about the sheep there and how God is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? And here Jesus sees himself as the shepherd of the sheep. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He is the shepherd. And the sheep needed him so much. He says, these are sheep that have no shepherd, no one to guide them in the way that they ought to go, and they need him. William Barclay points out about the sheep some things. He says, a sheep without the shepherd cannot find his way. Left to ourselves, we get lost in life, don't we? And certainly without the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus, we are lost, literally. Lost in our sins, lost in this world, not knowing where to turn, what to do. The sheep by himself is a tragedy, isn't it? He doesn't know where to go. He has to have someone to follow. It's only when Jesus leads and we follow that we can find the way, right? The narrow way, the way that he has opened up before us. Otherwise, we'll continue to wander around and never find what we need. A sheep without a shepherd cannot find its pasture and its food. You know? Again, the 23rd Psalm speaks about the Lord leading us by the still waters and how we lay down in green pastures. There, he provides. We can gain strength for life only from him, from the one who is the living bread, the one who is the shepherd of our souls. A sheep without the shepherd has no defense against the dangers which threaten it. Only by following him, the Lord Jesus, and his teachings, can we have safety in a hostile world. He is the one who guides us and helps us through every situation, even through the valley of the shadow of death, as it speaks of. He's always there to help us. And we, as sheep, we need someone to guide us. So he saw these people, and he comes and he teaches them many things. And he goes on. It doesn't say how long, but apparently for quite a while, because it gets late, you know. When you're enjoying something and when Jesus is teaching, my goodness, you can sit there all day long, right? And this is what they did. And so it says the day was now far spent. And here we see the difference between Jesus and his disciples. Notice, when the day was far spent, his disciples came to him and said, Lord, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away. See? Send them away. This is their solution, you see. That they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Well, what else could they do? Here, there's no store out here. They didn't have a Walmart or anything, you know, to go to and get something to eat or wherever. And the evening was coming on. A huge crowd of people, thousands. And he didn't want them to faint along the way. But he said, send them away. Send them away. And sounds very logical, doesn't it? What else could they do? They didn't have the food. We see that, right? They didn't have it. I mean, what can you do if you don't have something to supply people with? And what does Jesus say? This is his viewpoint. He says, give ye them to eat. Now, they must have been wondering, what in the world is he talking about? I don't have any food. How am I supposed to give them anything to eat? They said unto him, you know, what are we supposed to do? Go and buy 8 months' wages of food to teach, to give these people? This is a huge crowd of people. We don't even have that much money. And how are we supposed to provide this need? It sounds like an impossible command that he's making here with all these people, 5,000 men plus their families. And Philip comes to him, John says, and he tells Jesus that it would cost an astronomical sum to do this. So he says, okay, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. So they went and they looked, and what they found was 5 loaves. And when they say loaves, it was like rolls, you know, little rolls, and 2 fish. In John chapter 6, let's take a look there for a minute. John chapter 6, verse 8, it says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? This little boy, apparently, his mom had packed him a lunch or something, probably. These 5 little barley rolls that he had, 2 small fish, and he says, that's all we have. And so Jesus said, bring them to us. And they found these. He says, but what are they among so many? You ever think about that? What do you have in your hand? The Lord asked Moses that once, didn't he, with his staff that he had in his hand? It didn't seem like much of anything. You think, well, what can I do? Who am I? I don't have very much, you know. I'm just a simple person, right? Is that the way you think of yourself? Or are you the greatest? You know, it could be one way or the other. There's 2 different viewpoints there. But at any rate, I think usually we think, well, I don't have the sufficient amount to make any difference. And yet, this is what the disciples were thinking. Well, we can't possibly meet this need. And yet Jesus takes this small amount of food that he had and multiplies it. You know, it's wonderful to know someone who is capable of doing the impossible. Huh? That's what happened here, right? There's no other explanation for this. Somebody, I read, someone was trying to say, well, they must have had the stuff stored away in a cave and just pulled it out every once in a while, you know, and fed it to these people. What a silly thing that is, right? Here, no, this is a miracle. This is something that God did. The song says, little is much when God is in it, right? Even this little bit of food that they had could be sufficient to feed the multitudes. And so Jesus put the disciples to work. Did you notice that? He didn't just take and feed these people or say, oh, automatically he could have just said, be filled, and they would have all been filled, right? Of course. But no, he gave the disciples something to do. He wanted them to remember this. Just like he does with us many times. We see a need. What are we supposed to do? Oh, Lord, supply the need. Well, maybe we can help supply the need, right? Whatever it is. And he put them to work. He said, take the fish and the bread. Have them sit down in companies upon the green grass. And he said it was a desert place. Now, when you think of desert, usually you think of the Sahara Desert or something, sand. It's not talking about that. Here he says they sat down on the green grass. So it's probably the springtime of the year, and they're all out there in the open air, sitting on the green grass. He has them sit down in groups of 50 and 100. So they're all lined up, and Jesus pronounces the blessing. Notice. He blessed the food. He broke the loaves, and he gave it to the disciples to set before them. You see? And that's what Jesus works through people, right? God works through people. As I said before, he could just pronounce the word or say, you know, let there be light, and there was light, right? But he doesn't choose to do that. What he does is he hands us the bread and says, you feed the people, right? It's something that we're supposed to do, right, as his disciples. And so this is what it's important for us to see, that we have a part to play in the plan of God to reach people, not only with physical, material things, but with spiritual things. We need to seek to help people in whatever way we can. Now, sometimes it might be material things. That's not something to discount, is it? If someone has a need and you're able to supply that need, what should you do? Supply it, right? Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes I think we get the idea, well, you know, we're spiritual. We're a spiritual independent Baptist, and, you know, we just look at this in a spiritual way. But that doesn't help somebody if they're hungry or if they don't have any clothes to wear and that kind of thing. And sometimes we have to also think about that. I'm not preaching the social gospel. You understand that? But it is a part of it, right? We should help people. And that's the way to get their attention many times, is by helping them in some way. And then they'll listen to what you have to say. Jesus fed them, didn't he? He taught them, yes. He gave them the spiritual truths, but he also gave them the physical needs that they had. He supplied their needs. So Jesus used the disciples here. And then we find that everyone was filled. There wasn't a scarcity. They were all filled and satisfied. And they took up, 12 baskets full of food afterwards. Why did they take up 12 baskets? What do you think? It doesn't tell us, does it? But how many disciples were there? 12, right? So I think Jesus said, okay, we're finished here. Take this little basket along with you. We can have a snack later, right? Yeah, maybe. I'm sort of making that up. But anyway, there were 12 baskets. And these were the smaller baskets that you could carry in your hands. So there was enough for each of the disciples. And they did all eat and were filled. So this is Jesus met their need. And this is the miracle, as I say, that's recorded in all four Gospels, something that we need to remember. Now, after the miracle, notice it says in verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. So here, after the miracle, Jesus told the disciples, all right, we're finished here. You go in the boat and go across the sea to the other side. Here again in John 6 and verse 14, it says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Wait a minute, that's not it. Here. Am I in the right place? He dismissed the crowd, yeah. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And he sent the disciples out in the boat. So Jesus knew what they had in mind. They had enjoyed their meal. And they said, hey, he would make a good leader, wouldn't he? You know, if he can do this all the time, then we want to have him do that. And so Jesus realized that they were going to do it, and that was out of the plan of God. Wasn't time for that. So he sent the disciples away, and he went off to a place to pray alone. So he acted quickly in order to maintain the plan that God had for him. So finally, he was able to spend some time alone with the Father. He went into this quiet place. This is what they had sought before. And now finally he's able to do that. And he's there alone praying to the Father and enjoying the fellowship, no doubt, with him. While the disciples are out on the sea. And this seems to happen more than once, right? Several times we read in the Gospels about them having problems as they go across the Sea of Galilee. And here they are out there. It says in verse 48, he saw them toiling in rowing. They were having a difficult time. The wind was contrary to them. And it says about the fourth watch of the night, he comes to them. The fourth watch of the night, I think, began at 3 o'clock in the morning. So they had been out there a long time. You know, it wasn't just a few minutes. This was something that no doubt they were getting desperate, exasperated, I'm sure, to be constantly trying to get across the sea, and they couldn't do it. The wind kept blowing them back the other way. And, you know, by the way, I saw the Jonah that Kathy and Pam had mentioned that was going to be on. And they were there, that's sea going and all of the turmoil and everything. And Jonah got swallowed up by the whale because he didn't obey the Lord, right? The other disciples were obeying the Lord. He told them to go across the sea. But here they couldn't make it. They couldn't make it on their own. See? They were stuck. Here they are in the middle of the sea, and they can't go any further. And so what does Jesus do? He comes down from the mountain and walks out across the sea to meet them. And here we have this other wonderful miracle that we find here. And here they are, the disciples are desperate. They're afraid, and Jesus comes. Matthew 14, verse 28. Let's take a look there. Matthew 14, 28. Well, verse 27. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. So the storm is over. Jesus is back in the boat, right? But Peter, dear Peter, always so impetuous, Lord, ask me to come to you. I'll come out there. I'll walk on the water. And he started out doing it. Did you see? Peter actually walked on the water. You ever walked on the water? No. I don't know. I don't think I have enough faith for that. But anyway, he stepped out. But then he got afraid. He wasn't so sure. You know, he took his eyes off Jesus. He saw the waves. You know, it says over in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, right? The author and finisher of our faith. So we need to keep our eyes on him. Peter needed to keep his eyes on Jesus as he sought to walk across the water. But he didn't. And he began to flounder, going under. And Jesus reached out and saved him and brought him into the boat. Lord, save me. How many times do we have to say that? When things are going wrong, Lord, help me. And he says, oh, thou of little faith. These were his disciples. You know. They'd been with Jesus, had seen all these things that happened over and over again, all of the healings and things that Jesus had done, the miracles, casting out the demons, and yet their faith was still very small, wasn't it? Sometimes it takes a lot to bolster our faith, to help us to understand, and we seem to forget so quickly. It says their hearts were hardened. It says in verse 52, they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You see? They forgot about it. Now, this was a different situation. Hey, this is a storm, you know. These are the waves that's coming in, and, you know, what can we do? So, Jesus came, entered the boat, and everything was settled. Verse 51 says, and he went up unto them into the ship. The wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. So they still are not quite sure, you know. And even after Jesus was crucified, you remember, they came with the message, he's risen from the dead. Dear Thomas, he said, oh, wait a minute. If I don't see the nail prints in his hands and put my hand to his side, I won't believe it. I don't believe that. That's too far-fetched. You know, it just couldn't possibly be. See? How much does it take to convince us of the truth? And people today still doubt what Jesus did. They doubt who he was. And certainly we find here that we need to put our faith and trust in him. They go on across the sea then to the land of Gennesaret, and Jesus continues with his mission of mercy, helping those that are sick, healing them, preaching the word of God, and reaching people with his word. So we just need to look to the Lord for our daily needs, right? Think of that. And thinking about our country today and all that's going on around us, we can be afraid. We can throw up our hands and say, well, what can I do? I'm only one person, you know. I'm going to vote yes, but, you know, is it going to make any difference, right? Makes you wonder sometimes, doesn't it? And yet the Lord says, you go ahead and do what I tell you to do, and let the chips fall where they may, right? Be faithful. And trust the Lord. Trust, he says, in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You see? Whatever it is, whether it's the need for food, sustenance, or whether it is a need for safety on the sea, whether it's a need, whatever it may be in our life, Jesus is the answer. And he certainly is the answer for our spiritual needs, that we might look to him. He is the Savior. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other. And we need to